I have a word for you I'd like to, for you to think about. The word is theology. Theology, definition, is a study of the science of God. The science of God and divine things. The science which teaches the existence, character, and attributes of God. His laws of government. Doctrines we are to believe, duties we are to practice. I get a little bit tickled in my mind when I think about the science of God. Trying to study God and really know and understand God. It doesn't take very long for my little feeble mind to run out when I start trying to think about studying the God that created everything, that sees and knows everything. So this morning, I'd like for us just to think about that for a moment. Theology, the science of God. How can we truly know Him? We can say that I experience salvation, I experience His plan, I experience some direction from Him, but I would submit to you that as human beings, the deepest thinkers are incapable of really understanding the depth and magnitude of this God. Now, I'm a simple man. I grew up in a simple little community, little farming community. Spent some years of my life working in farms around the area, picking up hay bales and working in the fields. It was a good life for me. It was a good life for a lot of young men. Helped us to learn endurance and facing obstacles and dealing with the heat and humidity and blisters on your hands that turn into calluses. Things like that that you, many times it's hard to experience. So my scope of understanding is really limited to my surroundings. I've never lived in an urban environment. So I don't know anything about the concrete and the asphalt and the high-rise buildings and things like that. I've always been in a place where I had room. I could go outside and kick a ball as far as I wanted to kick it without worrying about hitting somebody else's house. I could go out of my back door if I wanted to shoot a rifle. I could shoot a rifle. I didn't have to worry about somebody being in the way. Those are the things that I have experienced in my life. So I know that it's a very different picture for those who live in an urban environment. So with that understanding, some of that limits my scope and my ability to comprehend the depth and magnitude of God that works in the life of an individual that lives in that environment. So I'm very limited. I realize as a human being, I'm very limited in my ability to comprehend the magnitude of the way that God can work in the life of an individual. Someone who lives in that urban environment, who experiences the concrete and asphalt lifestyle, could speak to me about the way that God visits them in ways that I would have a hard time relating to. You see, I relate to God from the trees, the animals, the grasses, the space, the room, the skies, the stars. I remember one time Brother Fuller was down in La Ronger in one of our meetings. We stepped outside of the chapel one night and looked outside. And he stood there and he looked up. He said, "My, look at the stars." Now, to me, that's an everyday occurrence. If the cloud cover's gone, I step outside, I look up at the sky, and I see multitudes of stars and the planets, the moon so clear. I don't know anything about light pollution, really. Noise pollution. But there are those who experience those things. I am thankful, folks, that we have one God that knows all and is fully capable of relating to every circumstance and situation in life. So that's one of the reasons why, when I think about this definition of theology, the science of God, I think, I am undone. Woe is me because of my limitations. This morning, I'd like for us to consider this God that we serve. I trust by the time we're finished here today, there'll be some thoughts sparked in your mind to cause you to think more about this God that we serve. And His ability in dealing with our humanity. In the book of 2 Peter, the third chapter, beginning with the fifth verse, I'd like to read a few verses here. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now think of that for a moment. We look at the clock and the calendar, and we mark time. We work dealing with time, schedules. Service was 10:15, beginning today. So we ordered our morning around that schedule, knowing that whatever I was going to do, if I was planning to be here on time, I had to have that accomplished before 10:15 so I could be here. We know that this meeting started yesterday evening at 7:30. There was a date on the calendar. We deal with the limitations of the time, the revolutions of the earth around the sun and its rotation. We deal with all of that. And we work with that because that is the order that we have to work with. But the scripture says one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God inhabits eternity. If we were to calculate time from the dawn of creation until this day, estimated about 6,000 years plus or minus, as we work with the Bible, the longest life that you could live, your human existence, is but a speck in that frame. But I want us to think about the things that we experience in this realm, in this time in which we live. The technology. I was speaking with a gentleman just yesterday evening about hearing aids and how he uses the iPhone to program hearing aids for service. Now, there was a time that that wasn't possible. There was a time when people who had hearing problems couldn't hear, or they had a big horn to try to direct, to try to listen. That's the realm of time that they lived in, folks. As we live life, the opportunities that God grants to us are, we can't hardly calculate the value that is there. God moves on in time. We occupy such a short space of time. But in that space of time that we occupy, God is expecting us to do something with our lives at that time. We're not here just to waste time. We're not here just to mark time. We're here to make use of that time. That is a resource that God has granted to every one of us. That clock keeps turning to the right. Time cannot be recreated. What I have is here before me. A few minutes of time today. Make the best use of the time that I have. It's not right to squander and waste. 1,000 years is one day. One day is 1,000 years with the Lord. So I look at that and I think again, the science of God. And I also think about my time here that I'm spending and God inhabiting eternity and whatever eternity is in my mind, not capable of comprehending all that that really is. But I know that I've got this space, and I think about the science of God, and I say, Lord, will you just please help me to try to put into focus your purpose for me, for this little space that I have to occupy. Now, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So I want to change gears a little bit here. You probably said a few minutes ago, "Preacher, what's the deal with the chair? What's that about?" Think about, if you can, what's taking place here for just a moment. What do you see? A chair resting on a rail. We just read an account about God's plan, about what He has in store, and about how everything around us are held in store by the Word of God. We read the account of the creation, the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is the animating force of God. It's that part of God, that portion of God that causes things to move and change. There's one translation talks about that Spirit of God brooding over the face of the waters. There was something that took place in the dawn of creation, and I can't begin to answer it all. I can't begin to fathom it all. But the Lord God, God of all heaven, began to speak, and by His Word, things took form. Brilliant minds, much deeper, much sharper than mine or anyone that I know, have looked into the laws of physics, have studied the laws of motion, have come up with formulas for calculus and figuring out force and motion and gravity. They've studied those things and been able to perfect those things over time until, folks, we live in a day. It hasn't been all that many years ago where people were scratching their heads and staying up all night trying to figure out, how does it work? How do you take a ball and another object from the same height and drop them and they seem to fall at the same speed and distance and hit the ground at the same time and work with a perfect vacuum? You put a feather in a vacuum and a ball in a vacuum and drop them and they both hit the ground at the same time. Folks, that seems to defy logic. But people, great minds, looked into those things and studied those things and tried to understand how those things work. Can I tell you how it all works? It's not because of anything we have created. It's not because of anything that we have designed. It's because God spoke into existence all of the laws of nature, all of the laws of physics. God, the great Creator, spoke all of these things, and they are held in store, reserved against the day of judgment. My son went to school for mechanical engineering, and he studied thermodynamics. Now, it doesn't take me long to get over my head in the subject of thermodynamics. But I was curious about it, scratched my head a little about it, and I wanted to try to understand a little bit about it. Very little bit. But there are two basic laws. One is that energy is not created or destroyed. It is converted into usable and unusable energy. The second law is that everything tends to disorder or entropy. Now, if you think about those two laws for just a moment, if you think about those two laws, that there is no energy created, or it's not created or destroyed, It's converted into usable and unusable. And the second law is the law of entropy. Everything tends to disorder. Think of the millions of dollars that we spend in this United States of America maintaining structures. Why? There were some pictures. I was on an internet page, and they were showing pictures of structures around the world that had been abandoned. Concrete buildings. In my feeble, shallow, limited understanding, look at a concrete structure and see, that is strong, that is solid, that's going to be here. Left alone, over a process of time, the natural elements tend to work and decay on everything around us. That is the second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy. Everything tends to decay. We sing a song in our hymn. One of the songs says, "Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." The world, folks, this world that you and I live in, if we could understand or even begin to comprehend in some level the power of the Word of God that holds everything in its proper place today. This world, folks, is tending to a level of decay and chaos. There will come a time that everything around us will be used up, everything will be burned up. I don't begin to understand how to explain it all. Except that I know if you look at the laws of science, the laws of physics, the laws of thermodynamics, and understand and can comprehend those things, when you start delving into that, then you have to realize that there is an outside force that is working to hold everything in its proper place. That force is God. Everything tends to chaos. If everything were to come to a point of equilibrium, can you imagine? Can we begin to imagine that if everything were to come to a point of equilibrium, where would we be? Would this chair stay here? If there were no forces, if God removed His Word, and all of the forces that work in nature were released to equilibrium, where would this chair be? We wouldn't have to worry about the chair, folks. This whole world would either collapse or explode. When I read this passage in 2 Peter, and I start trying to understand, even in my limited ability, some of the science of God, some of the power of God, when I read about these things, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." In the 10th verse it says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." When this thing comes to an end, folks, everything in nature, all of God's creation works off of these laws, these examples. When these things are no more, however God designs it to be, however it comes to an end, when God withdraws His Word, the power of His Word, from all these forces, there is no power that man has been able to create to hold it all together. I look at this body of mine in the mirror. I look at my face. I look at my hair. And I realize change and decay. That's what we see. It's what I see. I'm sure that's what you see when you look at me too. Change and decay. I once was young. I once was a baby in my mother's arms. I once was a young boy wishing for a BB gun. I transitioned from a BB gun to my first shotgun. And from my first shotgun to my first .22 rifle, and then to a high caliber rifle, and then to going hunting by myself and going fishing by myself. I transitioned to all those phases. And I transitioned to taking my boy hunting and BB guns and shooting and fishing. I transitioned to that. And now I've transitioned to grandchildren. And tiredness. Those areas in life, folks, there's nothing that stays the same. And we're serving this great big God that has ordered every area of our lives for us. And sometimes I love to try to step back and take a deep breath and try to take it all in. Where am I today? What is my purpose today? Where am I going in life? Why am I here? This little space of time that I have to occupy, I want to make good use of that time, Lord. Because I know that there's coming a day when this body is going to follow these laws of nature, the laws that God has put in place, the laws that great minds have been able to figure out and understand. Do you know how long it took for them to figure out how to build engines, steam engines? It took years and years and years of trying to figure out how to compress the steam, how to get the energy, how to harness that energy, how to make it turn it into useful energy. Great minds. And we get today our keys out of our pocket, or you might not even have a key. You might just have a little remote control unit that when you walk up to your car, it senses that you're getting close enough, and you push a little button, pop, the doors unlock, and you get in, sit down, and push a button on the dash, and the engine starts up, and it's already set. Already set for your comfort level. The air conditioner, the heater comes on automatically. The seat adjusts for you because it recognizes you as being the driver. It recognizes you as being the one behind the wheel. It recognizes your patterns of driving. The computer system on that vehicle recognizes what's going on, why it has to do certain things, how to respond to you. Does anybody have a smartphone with Siri? You ever talk to Siri? Siri, can you call XYZ Corporation for me in Yaktown, Tennessee? And Siri talks back to you. Yes, Michael. I'll call XYZ Corporation, Yaktown, Tennessee for you. And the number, and it starts to ring. Hello, XYZ Corporation, Yaktown, Tennessee. Thank you, Siri. Siri, I'd like to go home. Yes, Michael. You want to go home? Yes, I'd like to go home. Give me directions, Siri. And Siri, whoever Siri is, starts talking to you, telling you when to turn. Folks, I'll tell you, that's the time that we live in. This is a space of time that you and I occupy. Our ancestors would look at this world and think, what? When I was a boy, my dad would get Popular Science magazines. And have you seen a Popular Science magazine? I look at those Popular Science magazines and think, wow, this is space age stuff. Can I tell you something? Here we are. Driverless cars? Oh, I've been hearing about that for a long, long time. It'll never be. Wait a minute. It's in the works. Driverless cars. Do you have a car today that when you put it in reverse, the little camera comes on your dash and you can see what's behind you? Those are the things, folks, that you and I we're dealing with today. That's the space of time. That's a lot. But do you know what all of that can tend to do? It can tend to cause us to think, mine own hand hath gotten me this. How smart we are, how advanced we are, how developed we are, how much we can do, but I can't make that chair sit there. The only reason that chair stays, the only reason I stand here, the only reason you sit in your seat is because of forces of gravity. And explain the force of gravity to me. Tell me where it comes from. People have tried to understand and comprehend the human cells and the DNA and all those little particles. A while back, I was reading about some of those, and there's something coming up called the Higgs boson, the God particle. The God particle. Now, best I remember, and I may show my ignorance clearly here, when I was in school, I don't remember studying DNA. We studied atoms, molecules, cells. But science has advanced so far that breaking these things down into all of these little minute. And those things were minute.
That's right.
In my mind at that time, to think of an atom or molecules, wow, this is teeny stuff. But now, we're breaking it down even further. Humanity, comprehending even. But I wonder, do we actually think, as human beings, we're going to be able to get to the absolute bottom? How far can you divide something? Can you divide it until it won't divide anymore? You can always add one, can't you? 10 plus 1 is 11. 100 plus 1 is 101. 1,000 plus 1 is 1,001. You can always add one. Is there any end to it? What about on the decrease? With God, remembering that God is behind all of this, God spoke it all into existence. The secret things belong to God. There will always be those things that man will not be able to uncover because the secret things belong to God. Oh, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be challenged. Every day we're going to be challenged. And there will be forces working against us that take away our faith in God and to increase our confidence in man. Evolution claims that there is a constant developing upward. But the reality is, folks, the trend is downward. 2 Corinthians. Four and 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They're eternal. It would be easy for us to consider the stability of the things we see around us. Material things, folks, are not eternal things. Those magnificent structures that look like they could withstand any force, left alone over a period of time, will decay and crumble. The vibrations of the earth, the elements, the sun, and there are things there that I don't understand, a little something called chlorophyll, how that's able to start breaking down natural elements. Look, you park your car outside, if you leave your car outside, and you don't ever park it under a garage, over time, it decays. The paint's broken down. These clothes, they won't last forever. Oh, we can do some, we've come up with some mighty good ways to preserve things. But there's going to come a day it just turned to dust. It can't last forever. The natural trend is downward. I'm here to tell us this morning, there's coming a day when it's all going to come to an end. And the elements that will melt with fire, when everything reaches a point of equilibrium and nothing is able to hold together as it is, as we see it now. Folks, what we see around us is so natural to us. It just is. But it only is because of the power of God. And the power of His Word. Because I do believe when the Scripture says, and God said, let there be, that that same Word, as the Scripture says there in 2 Peter, is what holds it all together. So when the time comes for God to release His Word and His power that's holding it, the orbits of the planets around the sun, one of those old guys studied that objects tend to move in a straight line unless some force is exerted on them from another piece of matter. And that could cause them to have an elliptical motion. The tendency is to go straight, unless great minds begin this process. So, how did that take place? Where did the unless come from? It come from God. I'm thankful, folks, that I'm just simple enough to have faith in God. I've heard a comment made, there's a comedian that made this comment, and it is a little bit, you can chuckle at it, but there are those, I believe, who educated beyond their intelligence, not able to really understand the basics. I don't understand in many ways the basics, but I do understand this one basic element. God is at the center of everything. And if it weren't so, I couldn't stand here. This wouldn't stay here. You wouldn't be where you are. And when the time comes that God removes it all, chaos. I don't think we really understand what chaos is. And I think, too, about hell. I think about what hell will be. I understand the scriptures and description. Fire and brimstone, worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. I understand that. I also wonder what it would be like to be absolutely outside of the presence of God. Book of John, first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. I want to go back to this 2 Corinthians for just a moment. In that 4th chapter, 18th verse. The Apostle Paul in his writing apparently was way ahead of his time. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, they're just temporal. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. The things which are not seen, folks, they are eternal. That's where we need to anchor our hope. In the one true only God. Our hope for an eternal life. I appreciate your time this morning. God bless each one.